Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? It's me, Adam Hunter, here with Greg Romero Wilson. One of the funniest.
Hey, buddy.
One of my favorite comics, favorite people, a guy that I actually go to when I'm sad, which is also like fucked up on my part. Cause I'm like, man, you're the guy that I go to when I'm not doing well.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good sign. That's but you know what? I'm happy to be there. Actually, it always was like, this is, you know, I'm happy to be there. It means we're real friends. You really are. You know what I mean? Like when I hear that stuff, it's like, thanks, man. Thanks for trusting me with this. And I'm always there to lift you up. You're always there to lift me up. You know, I mean, we've known each other a long time, and being a comedian is not all laughs. So,
oh my God. I mean, I think there's more suicide with comedy than like other professions. Then, like,
I think you may be right about that. I mean, aside from, you know, CTE athletes in professional football, but I mean, I think you're right. Other professions don't see the amount of depression that I think comedians suffer.
I think it's more comedians because you hear about the CTE. Half the comics you don't even hear about because they didn't even make it to the big leagues. They didn't make it to the NFL.
That's true. That's true.
So, but I was obviously not in that space, but I was upset about something, and I called Greg and I told him, and he cheered me up. And you know, last week on the podcast, I talked about sometimes, like, you know, I feel like I haven't made it, or I feel like a failure. I feel like I haven't got to where I want to be. And people have reached out to me, and I appreciate the people that reached out to me. That was very, very nice. Very cool. So thank you. You know who both of you are. by the way, I don't think I ever told you this. I was telling Rich Voss the story, by the way. Rich Voss is also one of my favorite comics. Very underrated.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy who, like, I could watch Rich Voss do 10 different shows, and everyone will be different. I remember him one time at the Comedy Cellar putting his head in his hands going, is this good stage presence? And then one time I heard at Captain Brian's at Marco Island, like at a certain point, I think it was after last comic standing, where like he would walk 20, 30 people. You know, like as a comic, sometimes you get that big boost and then you go, fuck. Well, I think he was at that level where like he was like a badge of honor to walk people. So he had a cordless mic, and they told me not only did he walk some of the crowd, he followed them out and heckled them while they were in the parking lot going to their car.
You know, I mean, that era of New York comedy was intense, man. We didn't give a fuck. We'd go after the crowd, and the crowd would come. I mean, it was, that particular era was very aggressive. You know, you can't do that anymore. That kind of comedy, it's like all complaints and online fucking, you can't do that. You know, so it's just different. I canceled, but back then it was just, you know, it was kind of a fist fight, you know, quite a bit. It was fun.
Nobody had crazy like Doug Stanhope. I remember going to a club, and they told me that Doug Stanhope the week before walked everybody in the crowd but two people, but within the first 5 minutes. So he had to so he had to do his 45 minutes
for two people.
Yeah.
Dude, Stanhope, there was a reason he stopped doing comedy clubs. He was like, fuck you people, your politics, your everything. And then he just started doing rock clubs.
There was a time where he did the club owner was like mad. He picked me up, I remember, and he was still mad. I go, what's the matter? He goes, Doug Stanhope last week, he had a bowl on stage, on the stool, a bowl. And he started shaving his balls at the end. That was his closest. The guy was like screaming about
he was gonzo, man. He is gonzo. I mean, he's still out there. I haven't seen him but I mean, he's still out there, still doing shows.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember one time I did a show. I was booked in Arizona, and it was like a last minute show. Where's Sean, by the way? Sean's always Sean and Don, you guys coming? I was booked in Arizona, and it was a last minute, like, you know, 3 days before the, you know, hey man, this person, Fortune Femster, dropped out. Can you come in? Right. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So I came in, and I guess they hadn't got the memo out to everyone that
So people were showing up for Fortune.
Yeah. And they had a gay host and a gay feature. And then every time I went
Which
up stage,
fine. I mean, it's just
no, it's fine. Not, but that's Fortune's crowd. Like they, like,
yeah, exactly. They absolutely, like, yeah. That's her lineup and that's her crowd. Yeah, for sure.
So then when I went on stage, there was always like a couple or a couple or a few gay people that were just like this the whole time, and yeah. I was like, what's the matter? They goes, where's Fortune? I was like, I'm not. They're like, you're not Fortune. I go, like, at what point, like, they announced that it was me. Maybe they came late or something, but every time there was like, and I'm listening, I'm sorry, I'm not. And then the crowd was dying laughing because I was trying to explain to them, like, listen, they called me to do the show last minute. I'm not for. And then did my entire Instagram for like 3 weeks was kids going, where's Fortune? fucking teenage kids, man. How's Vegas?
It's fun. You know, last night was great. We went down to the barbershop. A buddy of mine was actually playing. And man, what a I love that place. They have the best. They get the best musicians in Vegas. And, you know, it's all covers, all fucking great rock jams. And just, I mean, it's just such a great time. If you can get in there, it's an amazing time. Because, I mean, we got out of the gate a lot. I mean, it's Monday. And we're already like,
hey. Yeah.
Like, okay, you know what, Greg? Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, you know, we gotta simmer this down. Simmer it down. I always get out of the gate a little hot in Vegas, though. Monday nights, I don't know what it is. Like, I get here and just fucking Roman candle every time. So, you know, I mean, but I feel fine today. I just got back from the gym, so I'm still staying on the program. Everything's going okay. But I did have a late night slice of pizza. Veggie pizza, but still pizza, which I should have had.
So. Sean, what are you drinking?
It's supposed to be coffee, but I end up putting so much creamer in it that it ends up just tasting like milk. It's like, it's really, really odd. I hate coffee, and I made the mistake. They've got this coffee creamer that says like zero sugar. So you assume it's no carb, right? Like it says yeah. Zero sugar on it. I'm like, oh, it must just have stevia or some sweetener in it. So I pour a bunch of it in there. And I just noticed today I was looking at it, like, I wonder if this has any carbs. It's almost as many carbs as Coke, but it's just sugar. Like, it's a slick little move they pulled. No sugar, but it somehow has carbs. I'm like, is there pasta mixed in there? I'm so confused. What's going on with this creamer, you know?
If you look at it, a lot of times that stuff, it'll say sugar alcohol, which yeah. I don't know what that is. But apparently, yeah. If it's sugar alcohol, they can say it's not sugar.
Right. And I'm like,
but it's sugar alcohol, so it still has all the calories and all the carbs of sugar, but it just says no sugar.
I've got a buddy that was Mr. Indiana, which is like being a supermodel in a wheelchair, basically. But like, he was Mr. Indiana, like a bodybuilder.
Hot calendar, boy. Like, yeah. Him with corn and then him with other kinds of corn. Like, fucking wild.
Corn all the time. Corn.
Just him and corn.
He, not an ounce of fat on, dude. He always swore to me that Diet Coke was worse for you as far as gaining weight than regular Coke. He would swear it up and down, like swear to God on his life. And I saw a study the other day that showed that they actually put people like through something where one group's drinking Coke, one's drinking Diet, and the people had higher blood sugar, higher everything on the Diet Coke than they had on regular Coke. So I would like to just use that as an excuse to drink Coke all day long. But I've been eating right, doing the right thing, man. So hopefully I'm back on TRT. So my face keeps getting swollen, which isn't my favorite thing. Like all people can always tell they had me go off testosterone for 2 weeks, and I lose 18 pounds of water weight in 2 weeks. Literally 18 pounds of water weight comes off of me. And then everybody's like, man, you look like you're slimming down. I'm like, haven't changed a thing. Just not taking testosterone. And the minute I take it, within 48 hours, pounds, yeah, it just, everything you drink stays on you because it aromatizes, which makes your cells hold water. It's crazy. So
my wife buys all this food that looks like it's going to be good food. Like, it looks like chocolate, it's in the package, it looks like cookies. Yeah. It looks like all this great stuff, and then I'm like, this is the most disgusting shit I've ever, and then I look and it has like zero fat. I'm like, oh, like, I get catfished by her fucking food choices every single time.
My mom and dad used to buy something called Frookies that looked amazing. Looked like chocolate chip cookies, but they were made only from fruit. And so when you ate them, it was the worst thing. I can think of an F word that these cookies deserves, and it's not fruit. Like, they were the worst, man. Like, they were absolutely horrible. But yeah, anything organic. Or my mom had organic gummy worms at her house the other day. I was like, I got to try what an organic gummy worm tastes like. I don't think it's actually organic. Like, I have a feeling they didn't go into nature and find a gummy worm and pick it up and eat it. It was horrific. Like, as far as
my wife tried to sneak vegan cupcakes by me one time. And she was like, you can't even tell the difference. I'm like, there's a reason I didn't finish it. Have you ever seen me not finish a cupcake, dear? We've known each other 14 years here. No, it was so bad. It's so dry. I was like, yes, you can. It's not a, listen, if we're going to have cupcakes, let's just deal with the consequences of having a real cupcake.
Yeah,
you know. 100%. Otherwise, let's just not have cupcakes. You know, but this vegan shit, I'm like, it's fucking disgusting.
It's like sex with condoms. It's like,
fucking, oh, exactly. Why bother? I'd rather have AIDS.
I do. I was going to say I'd rather not have sex, but Greg took it a step further.
Did my daughter?
Well, you know, with these new pills, you can fucking take the pills, and it's like, you know, you can still raw dog. It's fantastic.
Violet goes to me. I'm in the house. Violet goes, "Hey, Daddy, come here. Play with my pet unicorn," right? So obviously it's invisible. It's not like on acid or anything. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, "Hi, Mr. Unicorn." And then she goes, "Sorry, he's not much of a talker." Like, I got fucking pissed by her fucking pet unicorn. Like,
even in her imagination, her unicorn had nothing to say to you.
Nothing to say to you. Then I go, "Violet, it's time for bed." She goes, "Plot twist, I'm not tired." I go, "Who the fuck says plot twist?" I was like,
"That's amazing."
I was like, "Plot twist? My plot twist, I'm your dad. You're going to fucking bed."
He'd say the best stuff. My son, when he was 5, was outraged when we watched an episode of Cops, probably because I was letting him watch Cops at 5. But he saw them taking the drug dealers' money and cars and stuff. He goes, "Wait a minute, they're taking their stuff?" And I was like, "Yeah, buddy, that's what happens when you deal drugs." He goes, "They earned it." And I was like, and I was like, "Dude, but you can't sell drugs." He goes, "They're the ones that took the chance, though. You can't go back and take it later. They didn't get caught at the time when they sold the drugs, so they should get to keep whatever they got away with. They earned it. They took the risk. They got the reward." I was like, at 5 years old, thinking, "What the hell, man?" Like, this.
There's some sound reasoning there, really. I mean, if you strip away the legalities of it, he's not wrong.
He also told me that he had a solution. He said that all policemen should have brown skin. Like, this is at 5 years old. And I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "Because they're fast enough to run and jump and catch the criminals that run all the time." He goes, "They would be able to catch them." He goes, "Of course, all the guys running from the police have brown skin too, so it's probably even." And he was dead serious. Like, at 5 years old, I was just like, "All right, buddy."
See, and they say racism has to be taught.
Sean, did you then tell him, "Listen, not all criminals have brown skin"?
I tried to explain to him. He goes, "Well, that's the way it looks on TV." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know that's how it looks on TV, buddy." And my nephew one-upped him. The school they went to, he went to the same school as my son's real expensive private Christian school. And they had something one week. They were doing an essay, I think in first grade, on our biggest fears. And my nephew's biggest fears were Mexican and dirty Puerto Rican people. He said,
"Okay, Jesus." Like,
yeah, literally, his little thing said. I still have a picture of it somewhere. He said, "My two biggest fears are Mexican and Puerto Rican people." And I had "dirty" in parentheses, like dirty Puerto Rican people. He said, "I'm afraid they're going to rob me." And my brother's like, I promise we don't teach him that. I don't know where he got that. He's trying to talk to his son or whatever, and he probably saw it on TV or something. I don't know, like,
wow.
Six years old. Yeah. Barely old enough to put a sentence together as far as writing it down. And that was his biggest fears. And he spelled Porto like P-O-P-O-R-D-O or something. Like, it was, I still have a picture. It's the funniest and saddest thing ever. But
yeah, there's a little baby MAGA hat.
Right.
Dude, my sister, my daughter's.
So apparently, if you're a McCorkle, you are genetically racist.
I used to tell people, they asked me what my ethnicity was. I said, "I'd like to consider myself Aryan, but I don't know how you feel about that." I'd always say that I would tell people, I'd be like, "You know, the experiments Hitler was trying to, like, create the perfect human? I'd like to feel like I'm somehow a result of those experiments." Of course, that's when I was loaded on every steroid and HGH and looked amazing.
And so. You told this at job interviews? Or like,
no, just people that would ask me randomly. They would be
yeah, like, you should share this with the doctor when they interviewed you as to whether or not you deserve surgery. Right. Start with yeah. that. Start with
that, the interview. That might have been part of the reason I didn't get it. I did convince a they were doing a this somebody threw away millions of dollars headlining me in a 15,000 seat arena, which was almost full, believe it or not, in El Paso, Texas. It was called WMMA. Not surprisingly, they had one event. And I was the headliner, and Carl Parisian was the co-main event against Thomas Denny. And the first thing Carl Parisian said to me was like, bro, you're the main event. I'm the co-main event. And I said, I guess. He goes, I don't even know who the fuck you are, bro. Like, I started laughing when Carl said that. I said, that was the same fight that Don Fry said looked like I was ready to quit after the first kick.
Thomas Denny, I remember, was on.
And what were you doing fighting in women's MMA?
No, that was before. Yeah, that was before WMMA was a women's thing, although I fought like a woman that night, I think. But so
I love that that's the fight of yours that Don.
Did you win the fight or no?
Huh? No, I got beat by a guy who probably weighed 400 pounds. No offense to him. He had amazing cardio for a 400 pound dude. But he was like 24-9. And I was like, that dude, he ain't going to be able to beat me. And that's when I originally hurt my back, like the really bad that time that I hurt it. 3 weeks out from that fight. And I was going to pull out. But I was like, dude, they already have. I mean, literally a 15,000 seat at Texas El Paso, the arena that was sold out, I guess. I don't know how many of those tickets they gave away. So it was probably given out, not sold out. But they had, I mean, it was a huge event. And I don't know why they had me headline in it. They paid me something like $17,000 or $20,000, something crazy. But they were throwing someone's money away doing it. But yeah, it was. I don't remember why we brought that up. It was something you said right before that I was fighting down there.
I think it had something to do with Mexicans.
Right.
And that probably.
Oh, about Don Fry. Yeah, Don was announcing. It's the first time I ever met Don. So the first time I get kicked in the leg, he says, "I looks like I'm ready to quit." And then in the second round, I beat that kid half to death and he wouldn't quit. I mean, he was like, I dropped him twice in the first round, completely out. My corner yelled 10 seconds left, and I was going to try to finish him. So I gassed myself at the end of the first trying to finish. Turns out there was like 30 seconds left. So after 15 seconds of wild trying to finish him, I was like, dude, is this round still going on? And my corner's like, I'm just trying to motivate you, man. Tell you like 10 more seconds, you know, like to get you to. And I was like, you idiot. So it's at elevation too. In El Paso, it's like 4,000 feet elevation. So it wasn't helping my cardio at all, the elevation. But yeah, I came out and the dude, he rolled me. I got his back, got my hooks in, went to choke him. He rolled me off. And that's when I heard he had a disc in my neck, lost all feeling in my left arm. Like I couldn't move my left arm. So he gets me in a crucifix, punches me 50 or 60 times. And I'm telling the ref, I'm fine, because he's not hurting me. But the ref had to stop it. You know what I mean? There was too much time left. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I was so gassed out. But it's probably that first leg kick that Don said I looked like I was ready to quit on. Like, that was the first time somebody had hurt my feelings during a fight. I turned, literally looked at him when he said it. Like, Don Fry just said I'm ready to quit. It was one leg kick, like one. But the kid went on. He beat Travis View, if you guys remember him.
Yeah.
Something like 68-5, his record is something crazy, UFC fighter. He went on and beat him after he beat me, and he beat a couple other really good, like former UFC dudes. So the kid actually was really, really tough. So
one of the funniest corners I've ever seen was when Mayhem missed weight by 24 pounds. he goes, he's fighting Luke Barnett. The whole time he tells everyone he's fighting Josh Barnett. So he makes all these promos about wanting to fight Josh Barnett, right? Josh Barnett has nothing to do with anything, right? Then he goes out there.
How many times did Josh Barnett check his calendar and just be like, am I? Should I be?
At first, he probably laughed the first time, and he probably rolled his eyes every single time, right? Then he goes out there. He misses weight by 24 pounds, takes off his underwear, and goes back on the scale, like as if that's going to –
damn it. I still didn't make it.
So they get
23.7.
Right. So then they get, and then he said he got pissed because he actually had a Speedo on under that. Like he was going to keep going. Like it was a fucking circus clown. Right. So then he goes, he give him a new opponent, and his corner is Matt Harwich, which I don't know if you know who Matt Harwich is, but he's got,
I remember
like,
him. Yeah.
He's got
yeah.
pretty bad. I think he's got autism. He's like completely out there. I mean, out there, Greg, like you've never seen. Dude, that's his cornerman. His cornerman's reading the Bible, right? During the fight. So during the fight, his corner has a Bible and just starts reading.
He's like, the Lord hateth a dishonest scale. That's actually a verse in the Bible.
And then Mayhem's like fucking gasped by like a minute. And he goes, how much time do I have? And Harwich goes, what?
He was like James 3:14.
That explains why Mayhem threw a rod down and then was like, oh, it was supposed to turn into a snake. I don't know. This move never works.
He turned the other cheek repeatedly just to get hit.
Yeah, I just kept turning the other.
Dude, that was – and then you mentioned Thomas Denny. Thomas Denny was a guy who was on Bully Beatdown, right? Remember, like, it was, like, the most staged show ever. It was, like, two kids right. are obviously friends, and then one says he's getting bullied, and, you know, then they split the money. So, fucking Thomas Denny fought a bully, right, and lost.
Yeah, got beat up. Yeah.
He actually, like, couldn't submit the bully at all. Like, he was the only guy.
They should have had him on another episode where he had that guy on with Thomas Denny and someone else fight. Him for it. Denny's a really nice guy, man, but maybe not the best bully beatdown competitor.
No.
You know what's funny? I remember, I love that. Most of that time, though, that show was funny because the bullies were always like, once I go into rage mode, it's over. You know, always so just rage mode was always the training that they had.
Like, right. Rage mode. By the way, so I was watching Bill Maher before we get into fights, and they were talking about like books that are banned now in school, like all these trigger warnings and banning these books, you know. And I'm like thinking about when I was in high school, you guys read Equus?
Yeah.
Like a guy fucked a horse.
So yeah, he fucks a horse basically. Yeah.
Like, no, not basically, he fucks a horse. that wasn't banned. Like they that was
well, it's a play. And you know, I think they're aren't aware of it. Otherwise, they would definitely ban it, you know? The theater department's just quietly over there. We'll just put this on the shelf for now. It's fine. Nobody do Equus. Nobody do Equus.
Dude, then like when my kid was born, like she got like a bunch of kids books, like 20 kids books. And one of them was like great females, you know, of all time. Right. And like number three was like about Anne Frank. And I'm like, my daughter's like a month old. I'm not going to teach you about the Holocaust.
Right.
Like, why would you include that in a kid's book? I mean, I understand she's an amazing, you know.
If she were a McCorkle, she would have been born with that knowledge.
Right.
She would have come out and been like, the Holocaust was fake. So
I started reading it, and then it said there was a really ugly man named Hitler. But, like, that wasn't even, like, just called him ugly. Like, that wasn't even right. Out of all the things.
If only he had grown a full mustache and beard, he may not have been as bad. But that's wasn't it great when Michael Jordan had a Hitler mustache for a while and no explanation?
That was so that weird. God, that was so bizarre.
Did you guys watch the fights last week?
Did most of them?
All right.
Seems so, like no.
Like I said, was going to happen. You guys all picked against me. I said that Mirov was going to beat Peter Yan.
Yep.
Which it was like a thing where two guys are. Probably equally as good, but one guy is just way hungrier than the other guy.
Oh my God.
He went for 40 takedowns, Sean.
I heard it wasn't even close, which shocked me when I read the play on it.
Close. It was wild. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? I was like, what happened to Peter Yan? Like, this guy was a fucking destroyer. I mean, he just looked completely unmotivated. He looked out of sorts. He couldn't figure. I mean, it was weird. It was very weird.
After his last loss, he retired. He goes, I'm retiring from the sport, or I might retire. Once guys are in that mindset, a lot of times. It's not like
he didn't look like he wanted to be there.
It's not like Floyd Mayweather retiring for more money or something. Like when these guys that come from Russia or you know some of those countries over there and they retire, they mean it because it was never about money to begin with.
They're like, my sister is finally out of her slave contract, so I'm done paying the Russian mafia to let her loose, so I'm done. But I know everybody kept saying there's no way Aljamain Sterling will fight, and they kept saying that guy's name, and I kept wondering what they were talking about because I didn't realize the fight with Yan had happened yet. I thought it was next week, but they're like, there's no way, whatever the guy's last name is, I can't remember. Everybody online kept saying that he'll never fight him. He'll find a way out. There's no way he'll fight that dude. And I just kept wondering who they were talking about, but I assume that's him now.
It is because they're training partners and he considers him his brother and he doesn't want to fight him. So he's waiting for Aljamain to go up a weight class and then he would be willing to fight for dumb.
So he doesn't want to fight Sterling either?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just figured they were saying he was afraid. Sterling was afraid to fight him. So
no, Mirov, he said it right there in the ring. He's like, I'm not going to fight my brother, but when he go up a weight class, then I will call for the title and stuff. Listen, this guy, Mirov, he's going to be a problem in this division. If Aljamain were smart, he would go up a weight class and get out of it. Because this guy fought like a Terminator, like just, and they kept saying, there's no way you can maintain this pace for five rounds. And he maintained that pace for five rounds. It was like never lost a step. Never for 1 second seemed like he was gassing out. It was scary to watch. That guy's
young too, right?
Yeah, well, there's one fight where he got really, the guy came to Brooklyn. He came to Brooklyn with no money, like joined the gym that was walking distance. He had a bike. He worked as a bus boy. Like, he didn't know anybody, and he just really kind of. So Don, are you carrying a machine gun around your neck? What's going on there?
No, now I'm making a fashion statement. I got farmer suspenders on.
Don, suspenders are made from former machine gun slings.
Exactly.
Not a surprise at all.
Locate us.
Okay.
Don has entered the Green Acres phase of his career.
By the way,
he's on his way to churn some butter.
By the way, somebody wants me to find the clip of when Don said he would do to a child molester. Remember that?
Oh my God. Like yes.
And then post that. Somebody wants to animate it.
I'm going to vote no. I mean, listen, we can't stop them, but we shouldn't facilitate it. You know, if you want, you find it then. And also, if they do it, don't post it, Adam. Let them post it. Don't repost it. Because that is not going to be a pleasant cartoon. You know, when you post something, like when you upload something to YouTube and they're like, is this made for children? I hope they emphatically check the no box.
Might not be the best one. You know, on a good note, on that topic, you know, the guy that murdered Bubba McDaniel's son just got found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. So that's good, man.
Good.
The guy that murdered his 2-year-old baby. It's been like 4 or 5 years. The guy was playing the system like they do because he's got money.
I got to tell you, man, that there are some cases, some crimes, certain. It's like, why does it take so long?
Yeah.
Like some things should be just, you know, hey, no, you're guilty. Get the fuck up. You know, whatever. Why certain things. Not. And I guess that's the thing is you can't because then people get railroaded. I don't know. But it just seems like some things, come on, this is pretty cut and dry. You know, this guy, that's it. What are we doing here? Why are we wasting 4 years on this?
So I think what's his name had a, didn't Ron White have a joke about that? He said in Texas, if more than 3 people saw you murder somebody, they had a law where you went like right straight to the front line on death row where there were no appeals, there were no anything, you know, if you're found guilty, which is really the way it should be, man. If there's, I'm all for, I don't buy the 10 guilty people should go free before one innocent person's convicted, because that's like saying we should never go to war if one of our soldiers might die. You know what I mean? Like you can't do that. But I think I don't think there's anything worse. I think serial killers are better than pedophiles. I really do. Like, I would rather, if I had to choose my son to be a pedophile or a serial killer, I would choose serial killer. So.
Well, especially after watching Dexter. And then I don't know what happened. So this guy, Romanov, he was the guy.
Oh, my God.
Everyone was looking at this guy was killing people. Like, I think he was an Olympian wrestler. He just had everything. He was a guy that looked like he was going to be a problem, right?
He had everything except a training camp.
He ran
He
ran through Chase Sherman, like murdered Chase Sherman, right? So his last fight, he loses. He doesn't look good. And then he fights Volkov, who this guy came in, Romanov, with like triple D tits, right? Just huge boobs and just got the shit beaten out of him. I don't even Cormier was like, this is not the same guy. This is not.
Yeah.
This is a.
If Cormier says you're looking out of shape, that's like me saying someone's got a big head.
Exactly. Now you are a problem.
What's up, people? I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. First of all, what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh farmed, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Number one, all right? You can make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle, no gas, all that other stuff that you have to get there. No, just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of home. Sounds good to me. HelloFresh has 40 weekly recipes to choose from. For all meal occasions, lifestyles, and preferences, okay? Take your pick from meals like soy glazed salmon with rice, or mushroom and chive risotto. That sounds delicious. I'm in. Now, me and my wife, we've been doing home-cooked HelloFresh, and it has been delicious. Delicious, okay? It saves us time. It saves us money. We're in. So just go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. Use the code Roasted60 for 60% off plus free shipping, okay? HelloFresh.com/Roasted60, all right? HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go check it out. What's up, people? I want you guys to know that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, NHL, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. They got live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite leagues and events. So, people, head to their website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. That's right, CLNS50. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Highly recommend. I mean, what do you, Don, do you watch the fights this weekend?
No, I did not.
I mean, Greg, what do you think happened to that guy?
I don't know, but like I said, it looked like he had no training camp because even his the fighting he actually did looked street fighting. Like he was just swinging wildly, trying to end it as fast as he could. Volkov just had to kind of just pick his moment and then beat the shit out of him. Like it wasn't even, it looked like a bully beatdown. Like that looked like a bully beatdown episode. It was weird. He looked completely like he didn't even prepare for the fight, didn't train, nothing. It was very, very, very weird.
And then Ryan Spann lost, which
pretty decisively.
It was crazy grappling back and forth, all this grappling. Then he got into he basically put himself into a triangle. And people have been talking shit to him. So he gave the address of his gym and he said, anybody wants to come visit me?
I love that.
This is my address.
Good. The best is when they show up, get beat up, and then try to sue. That's happened repeatedly. Like, guys will show up, sign the waiver. It happened to, oh, my gosh, who's that kid? He beat the shit out of somebody.
The dentist, Josh.
Yeah, Neer, yeah. The guy shows up, and Neer, I mean, brutally beat the shit out of him, and the guy's going to sue him, and he tried to press charges. Like, dude, you showed up, signed a waiver, and said you wanted to spar full contact. What is the problem?
Yeah, and then it was.
They don't understand that. They don't understand. It's a whole different world when you fucking have to face an animal, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, and then you get beat up. Then they run to mama.
Yep.
And then it was a weird. The Asensio retired. Basically, what happened was him and David Grant had a good fight, and then Grant kept grabbing the cage, right? So the ref stopped it. And started him from neutral, and then Grant knocked him out, right? Finished him. And then people were, he got him on an inverted triangle, which was crazy. An inverted triangle, he put him to sleep. And everyone was like mad because they were like, well, you know, you should have stopped it and then flipped him. But he's like, I can't stop the action and then put the other guy on top, which I understand. But Keith Peterson, people got mad at him. Anyway, that was that. Since you guys didn't watch that, I don't want
to
go.
Dude, can we talk about, though, to me, the fight of the night, my man, Jonathan Martinez, another Latino fighter on the rise, took out Nurmagomedov. I mean, it was impressive. It was pretty amazing. And at first, I thought he was going to get taken apart, but then he broke the guy's nose and the whole thing turned. And I was so excited for that dude. To me, that was the best fight of the entire thing.
Then he called out everybody. He called out Moreno.
Yeah, he did.
He called everybody. In Bellator on Friday night, you guys watch that? Anyone watch Bellator?
No. I wish I'd have known it was on.
All right.
Well, I would have to subscribe to Showtime to watch it.
I'll quickly tell you what happened. Ben Henderson lost to Usman Nurmagomedov quickly. He got kicked in the head, submitted, and then he retired. So you know, I love Ben Henderson. You know, guy's been through some wars. One of my favorite fighters, actually.
I don't think you want to fight anyone named Usman Nurmagomedov, and definitely not somebody with those two names combined. I don't think, like, if there's somebody over contract that has either of those names, I'm good. I'd fight somebody else.
But Martinez took the fight, and Martinez beat him in Magomedov. I really thought he was going to, I mean, wrestling, because he was wrestling him. And I was like, there's no way he's going to, and he managed to beat that guy. I was so proud of him. I was standing up. I was cheering in my living room. It was fucking great.
That's awesome. And Showtime, like I said, on Showtime, the Bellator. So MVP, he kicked Giotti Yami, he kicked this guy, Gotti Yamauchi, right? In the first kick of the fight.
An Irish guy.
first kick of the fight, the guy's knee exploded. I've never seen a knee open like this. I want to try to find it. Sean, I still don't understand what happened. It was fucking crazy. Let me see if I can find this.
Like it split open like a cut, or it just buckled?
No, like, dude, it like opened, like, the whole knee opened. I've never seen an injury like it was.
So it looked like Don Fry's knee.
It looked like Don Fry's knee, right where, yes, but right. Except it made no sense.
How bad is Gotti Yamaguchi's kneecap injury from MVPs? Yeah, I'm looking at it right here.
All right, hold on, let me see. All right, so I'm gonna see if I can share the screen. Here we go.
I'm afraid to look.
Dude, I've never seen anything like this before. I'm watching fights.
Oh,
forever.
My goodness.
Look, hold on.
This is actually going on with this play. This is MVP kicking this guy's knee. And you can see actually going on with this play. This is MVP kicking this guy's knee.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that doesn't even look real, dude.
Like, what?
Oh, crap.
What happened?
Yeah, I guess his kneecap, the bone, I guess, split open the skin. That's bizarre.
You know, not everybody's meant to be a fighter.
Dude, this guy's great. Gotti has like a million submissions. He's a real fighter.
He's great,
got
except
a million
for having
stitches now.
Exactly. Don, except for having paper mache knees.
Don,
I mean,
can you
come
see this,
on.
Don, can you see this? All right, because Don is on right now.
Don't explain.
Right,
so here's what's actually going on with this
play. All right, okay, so this guy's going to explain what happened.
All right, so here's what's actually going on with this play. This is MVP kicking this guy's
knee. Wow, man.
Yeah, that's a patella fracture. So this is what a normal patella would look like, and this is what a patella fracture would look like. This would need surgery to be fixed. That's the block.
Doctor,
oh, man.
Yeah, oof. That'll never be the same, I don't think.
Yeah, his fighting career might be over. That's pretty brutal.
It just opened up. That's crazy, right?
You would think blood would splatter when it opens that big right away, but I don't know. That is.
And you know what's amazing, though? I'm looking at some of the images now, and, like, he's just kind of holding it and staring at it, and I'm like, how's he not crying?
Yeah, he probably couldn't believe it either.
Totally. He's just, like, looking at it and holding it in place. I'd be like,
It looked like he got shot, right? Yeah. Dude, yeah. I've never seen anything like that before. I was, it was crazy.
Donald vouched for me on this one. When a guy reacts, the only time I ever reacted to pain in a fight was when I got poked in the eye in Japan, and I immediately rolled, holding my eye to my stomach. When you react in a fight, if it hurts bad enough for you to react, that means it really, really hurts. Because most of the time you get hit or kicked, it's more of a noise than it is a pain. You know, like you'll get hit, you'll be like, you hear the sound, and I mean, it stings a little bit, but when something actually makes you grimace, like that, when they hit in the liver or something like that, that must have really, really hurt for him to react like that. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine.
So, in other news, in Fight Circus, Rampage and Bob Sapp are doing a Siamese, what's it called when you're conjoined?
Siamese twins
during a fight.
Yeah, they're doing a Siamese boxing match where they're going to be attached at the arm and hitting with their other
hitting each other
against two other guys. I don't know who.
I don't think I would want to be attached to Bob Sapp because he could probably throw you out of the ring with his other arm should he forget not to use it. Like it's Sapp, by the way, I think I told you guys, he looks better now than he's ever looked. And told me he hasn't touched a weight in 12 years. Like, that dude's body is the most, I mean, he's got a 16 pack, like in 360 pounds of pure muscle. He is something else, man.
Yeah.
Hold on. Is it possible? What is it? When are we just going to have clowns fighting, you know, elephants?
Yeah, okay. Here's a video. Like, here's a video of them training.
This is officially the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
I like how they have what appears to be the same shirt on, but it's attached.
Is that how they have to fight? Do they have to fight? Now they're fighting each other. Now they're fighting each other. Bob Sapp's just beating them up now.
It shows you how big Bob Sapp is to make Rampage look that small, man. Holy shit.
Hold on. Okay, so what are you guys' thoughts about this?
I think it's amazing. I'm not sure exactly. I'll tell you how big, you know how everybody, when I saw Brock Lesnar, he was about 6'3". I was shocked at how small he was, like height-wise. First time I saw Bob Sapp in Japan, I was like, dude, he's taller than me, and you know how big I am, Adam. Like, and that's when I was juiced up, like when you saw me around that time, and he made me look tiny. Like, I've got a picture of me and Bob Sapp, and I look so small compared to him, but he's a legit 6'7", 400 pounds, man. That dude is – it's amazing. I can't even – like, do you think that's really happening, or they're just joking? You think that's
they're really doing it.
Who's going to fight him?
And the shirt thing, it's like, how many yards of material did they have to buy to make that shirt?
Same person that stitched that together can do a Yamaguchi's knee.
Oh, my God. It's so dumb.
Half the fun of these fights is watching Greg's reaction. That's my favorite part.
It's like this stuff used to be comedy sketches that they've turned into real sports. Like, it's so dumb.
One of these days, the camera's going to flip, and Greg's going to be fashioning a noose and working on a rickety stool. Like, he'll no longer be able to take it.
Totally. And by the way, that'll be an event. It'll be a pay-per-view. Right.
Mayweather. You guys hear about the Mayweather fight?
Oh, I can only imagine.
So Mayweather they're doing tag team boxing now.
Huh.
Why would they do that when they could just tie each other's hands together and go in there?
In the same shirt.
At the same time in the shirt.
Why reinvent the wheel? I don't understand.
So it's Mayweather and KSI against Pacquiao and Salt Pappy. I don't know who Salt Pappy is, P-A-P-I.
One of those names doesn't belong in a group. There's Mayweather. There's KSI, who I guess is pretty famous, Pacquiao, and then Salt Pappy. I don't know.
I think he had a hit song in the early 2000s. Donde la gasolina, la gasolina. Something like that.
That guy is huge, the gasoline guy. Also,
wait, are you being serious, Greg? You think that's actually him?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if Greg knew who Salt Pappy was and knew his song, that's amazing. That would have made my day.
Paige VanZant sold an autographed card of her with a kiss on it. She kissed the card for $13,000.
Oh, God.
Somebody paid for this.
I would pay for that, but she'd have to kiss it with a different set of lips.
Even that. I mean, 13 grand? Like, you could have had Paige VanZant and saved $12,000. But like what? Like, what? Are you out of your mind? Like, why would you do that? $13,000?
For $13,000, you could hire an escort way better looking than Paige VanZant to do whatever you want for a weekend. People are something else, man. Like, I don't know. Well, how does someone that dumb acquire $13,000? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How did they?
And where are these hookers you're speaking of?
That's what Greg wants to get to the bottom of.
He's better looking than Paige VanZant Hooker.
So Paige VanZant is a very attractive woman, and it's just like, it's crazy. So this week, UFC 286, has gotten no promotion. Like, I haven't heard anything about it.
I think they waited till this week to really start promoting it. Like, I've seen finally some promos for this week. I was like, oh my God, is that this Saturday? Like, it is the main event.
It's Leon Edwards versus Usman.
That's this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in London. Look, Leon Edwards looks great. he's shredded. He's big. Is that I don't see this going any other way than Usman wrestle fucking him, taking him down, holding him down. I think the first one, I don't want to call it a fluke because it, you know, it's not a fluke that a guy can land that kick, but it was a surprise. It was a shock. And now he's ready for it. And I think that Usman, boringly, he gets booed out of the building, but he wins the fight. Greg, Sean?
I agree.
I totally agree, too. I mean, there's a reason he's negative 230. I mean, he's minus 230. So in the odds, I mean, it's like, yeah, it should be all Usman all day.
I mean, it's in London, so he will get booed. People will get mad. But fuck it. This is fighting, and he's a better – you know, look, Usman's is better at wrestling, and that's what's just – it's you can't make up that gap.
Is Masvidal on that same card? Is that the one with him and
– No, this is also Justin Gaethje against Rafael Fiziev. Fiziev is 12-1. Justin Gaethje, I like Justin Gaethje. I worked with his cousin. He's a comedian, real nice guy.
Gaethje's the underdog in this one.
I think he's been in – I think he's been in too many wars. He's been in
He's sitting at plus 195 right now, which I don't really know this guy, and yet he's favored really over good. Justin Gaethje. This is remarkable to me. I'm just happy to see Justin Gaethje fight again. His fights are always entertaining. So I mean,
unfortunately, this guy's better at kickboxing, and Gaethje is a four-time All-American wrestler and never uses his wrestling.
I bet he don't take him down once either. I bet he's staring. That, you know, I saw someone was replaying. They took the nastiest hits from Gaethje and Michael Chandler and put them together in a montage. I got to watch that fight again, dude. It was probably 7 minutes long of the ugliest punch.
You were there, right, Greg?
I was at the garden. Golly, in person must be crazy, man. It literally was 7 minutes long of, and it wasn't looped. It was just them hitting each other with the most power you've ever seen, just blasting each other over. That took years off their life, I bet, man. Them guys are something.
A different subject. Conor McGregor is going to be on Sean Hannity tonight.
<Is he? laughs>
Yeah.
Finally, a meeting of the minds.
That makes sense on no level. Like, other than powder doing cocaine, that's the only thing that would make sense about any of that.
What is he going to talk about?
He's not even an American citizen. Like, are they going to talk about politics? Like, what's going on? I don't know, man.
Greg, what do you think?
I hope Hannity tries to get him deported live on the air.
What do you think they're going to talk about? I have no idea. I mean, Joe Biden?
Proper number 12? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, plus, like, right now, it's like all this crisis as far as the stock market, this and that, and the banks. Like, what is McGregor going to start throwing money against? Like, look how rich I am, motherfucker. Right.
He's going to talk about you guys, but I'm slowly taking all my money out of my bank. Like, so there's no red flags or anything, because if you try to take it all out at once, they'll be like, oh, we have to get approval, which really irritates me when they try to do that. Like, it's my money. What do you mean you got to get approval to get my money out of my bank? But I'm slowly taking it out a couple thousand at a time, because I think this is going to go nationwide, and you're going to have they won't steal your money, but they might limit the amount you're allowed to spend, take out, or whatever. And I don't know what I'm going to do with all that cash. It's like, I can't even open the safe I've got at my house. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I've got a safe that's so good I can't even get it open. So it's like, it's something else. And
is there anything in it?
So for anyone,
that's the problem. It's in a hidden spot in my house. I have a hidden room that I built specifically for a safe, and so now I'm going to have a locksmith.
And he can't find it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a locksmith come out, and then he'll know where it's at and what's in it. So at very least, one person will know. You know, so it's just like, it's not. I actually put the safe in there myself and didn't let anyone know. No one know about it, because I've got. Hypothetically, I would have things in there of value.
Well, meanwhile, we have like a leak under our bathroom faucet. And like, you use the sink, and like, so we call a plumber. Every plumber wants $150 to come look at it.
Right.
So now my wife's just like, me and you will do it. what can go wrong?
These are very comparable problems.
All right, Brian Barberena, who lost his
He's
last.
He's back.
I hope he wins this fight. He's a guy that he moved to, I think, South Carolina and opened a farm without knowing anything about a farm. But he has like a.
I know somebody who did something like that once.
I gotta be honest. I don't think they call it opening a farm. I think the farm's already there, and you just start farming.
I opened a weed grow in Michigan one time and had never smoked weed in my life, so that was a good idea. But I knew nothing about it and just ended up losing a bunch of money. So.
That's one of Warren Buffett's principles of investing. It's like, make sure you put your money into something you know nothing about.
Right. Or like, I didn't even know what a quarter, like nothing, an eighth. I didn't know what any of that meant. I just knew that if you're growing plants and can sell a pound for $2,300 and it's legal, it seems like you should be able to make money. Turns out the power bill was more than I got out of the weed. So the indoor grow and I had a guy that I thought I was really good friends with. He had never ripped me off before. He got broken into three separate times right as the harvest was about to happen. I'm like, I'll be damned. It's at your house in a building out back. You were home and someone broke in there and stole 20 pounds of marijuana. Isn't that crazy? Stole the plants and everything, took the whole thing. You would have to have a semi to haul everything we had there, but somebody knew right when to get it. It's crazy.
So Don keeps trying to log on. He can't log on for some reason today. I keep seeing Don.
Suspenders are interfering with his signal, I bet.
He's going to blame it on the Chinese. So Jennifer Maya is taking on Casey O'Neill. Casey O'Neill is a very good-looking woman. She's she's undefeated fighter. She's 9-0. She doesn't like me very much.
Maybe it's because your first credit for her is always she's a good-looking woman. Maybe that's what it is.
She is a good-looking woman, but she knows.
I'm sure she became a fighter because that isn't the first thing she wants people to say.
All right, fine. That's probably why. But I don't know why. But she's always like correcting me, like when I make a joke. Like it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, this guy, you know, left his training camp or she switched camps during the walkout or something. She'd never switched camps once. I'm like, okay, it's a fucking joke. Like she's always like fact checking me on my jokes, you know, or putting me down. But I like her. I like her.
I gotta tell you, for such an attractive woman, she sounds like a real good time.
Very sweet.
Sounds super fun. Casey O'Neill fact checking you.
Fighting Jennifer Maya, who Jennifer Maya is also a solid fighter. This should be a good fight. I think Casey O'Neill wins this fight. Marvin Vettori, he's the guy that he's like the hothead. You know, like was fighting it in like hotels and crazy shit. Like he's a psycho.
Fights everywhere, but in the cage when he's against somebody who's tough and he just hugs like a style bender and punches him in his kneecap, which apparently is a great technique if you can hit the right spot. I just learned today. But
so Don, just to update you on the show.
Yeah.
What's his name? MVP kicked someone in the leg and their whole leg exploded. Like just went nuts. Can you see me or no? Don?
That was a minute with Don.
So if I share the screen, can you see it?
I hope so.
All right. So all right,
you're
okay.
In
so,
a yellow shirt.
All right, okay.
It's cleaned. It's dungy.
Yes. Tommy the Hitman Hearns right here.
Hey, nice.
So all right. So I'll get you up to date. So Rampage and Bob Sapp are doing Siamese twins boxing. So I'll show you I'll show you this right here.
It sounds like they're going to box some Siamese twins.
Okay, here you go. So here you go. Don, get your hand away from the camera so you can see. Don?
I can see. Yes.
And then they fight each other.
So that's
this opens up so many racial comments, you know.
what racial comments? I didn't think of one.
I was gonna say that we've covered it. I'm interested to hear, but also let's not hear it.
I was expecting black-on-black crime to be said by Don at some point, but I have a feeling the Chinese will be worked in also since it's Siamese.
So that's one thing. And then MVP landed this kick, by the way. This opened up this guy's – I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Let's see if I can see this kick. Hold on. This was crazy. So share screen. Don. All right, so he landed this kick on Friday night.
His second knockout win in his Bellator MMA debut. That kick. Ends it.
That
so you saw Bellator MMA debut.
Right there.
That kick.
Ends it.
That kick.
Don, do you see that?
No, I lost my screen. I have to leave for a minute and come back. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's all good, dude. All right. No worries, Don. So Marvin is fighting Roland Dolitz, who's 12-1. This guy's a fucking badass right here. This guy
is Dolitze or something like that.
Dolitze. He's got a win over Jack Hermanson, win over Phil Hawes, who's a good fighter. He went over Kyle Daukaus. His last loss was to Trevin Giles. That was back in 2021. I don't know. I think Vittori's in trouble here. I honestly think he's in trouble. Thoughts? And then
Vittori seems to be his own worst enemy. I mean, he goes in there and he looks like a world beater, and then it seems like he almost finds a way to lose. You know? Yeah. I mean, there was a time when I thought this guy was unstoppable, and then he just kind of finds a way to lose. It's pretty remarkable. I'm always surprised. So, I mean, for me, I would put everything on Dolze, but, you know, the second I do, you know that means Vittori is going to show up. Right. So,
and then I'm not at all, man. His last couple, I don't know. Like, I think he kind of ruined it for me when he wouldn't fight against Stylebender. I can't stand when guys are content just to lose a decision. You know, like, I can't, I'll never root for a guy again when they at least go for it, man. Like, even if you're going to get knocked out, try to win at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Now, when I think he thought he was winning, that's what I thought.
Even scarier. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he thought that he'd done enough. I think he thought he was winning that fight, and that's why he didn't go for it.
So, Don, your picks for this weekend, Usman versus Leon Edwards. Who wins? Don? Don?
Yes.
This week, Saturday.
I didn't hear what you said.
Leon Edwards versus Usman this week. Yes. Who wins the fight?
I'll go with Usman.
How?
I'll go with Usman.
All right.
By knockout.
All right, Usman by knockout.
I think Usman's, you know, 10-foot-tall, bulletproof. He's in his shit together. You know, I think he's a great fighter. I think he's a really amazing fighter.
And then Justin Gaethje versus Fazayev.
I'm going with Gaethje.
All right.
Me too.
I think Gaethje's tired of losing. And he decided it's time to work extra hard and get after it, get back in the win column.
I hope so.
Love it. I hope that's true, boy.
And then our guy came on our show and got a blowjob during the interview.
Amirkani,
who got a blowjob.
There he is.
Got a blowjob while talking to us.
I didn't know you had Buffer on the show also.
Oh, my God. There it is.
He's fighting. he's fighting Jack Shore, who's 16-1. Man, Makwan is good, but he's like good for one round. He just gasses so hard.
I have no respect for anyone that fights like that. that was my calling card. I used to tell people all the time: for 3 minutes, I can hang with Cain Velasquez. Like I can fight with anybody for the first 3 minutes.
So. Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm looking at their profiles right now on UFC.com, and even in his picture, Makwan looks disinterested. He's like, I guess I'm fighting again.
In his defense, you may have also seen what he's getting paid for the fight right before they took the picture. Sometimes that's very disappointing when you look at your UFC contract right before they take your picture.
Yeah.
So Mike Swick, who's an Ultimate Fighter, great guy. Mike Swick announced he's cancer free. So good for Mike Swick. He beat cancer.
Good for him.
Very, very happy for him. And then I don't know if you heard, Don, but someone paid Paige Van Zandt $13,000 for an autographed baseball card of her, and she kissed it. Which is weird
because I didn't know she played baseball. So that made it even weirder.
So
I had to buy. Did I tell you guys I had to buy my own UFC trading card? I had to actually get on eBay and buy. They wouldn't even give me one of my own trading cards, but they made me sign 500 of them.
Oh my God.
And I didn't even get one. I had to buy one.
You couldn't just pocket
99 cents really hurt.
You couldn't just pocket one while you're signing 500 of them?
Dude, I'm sure they would have charged me for it if it was missing. It's crazy the stuff they make you do. Like, hey, we need you to sign 500 of these. I'm like, okay, well, I'd be getting paid. No, but go ahead and just sign them. Be like, okay, cool.
So, oh, by the way, I made a mistake. No, did not land 48 takedowns. He shot 48 times. I'm not sure how many takedowns he landed. But he didn't land 48 takedowns. He shot because
actually that 48 those attempts I think was a record for the UFC.
I would think that's crazy.
Yeah, because they kept talking about that during the fight. They're like, no one's ever tried this many takedowns. It was over and over and over and over again. He was. I'm telling you, the guy's nickname needs to be the Terminator. Because he just kept coming and coming and coming, never changed, never gassed, never changed it. One iota of energy in his attempts. It was pretty wild.
You know what kind of shape you got to be in to shoot 48 takedowns?
It's not the takedown king.
What was that, Don?
Obviously, his name's not Takedown King, right?
Yeah, it's attempts.
Obviously, his name would not be the Takedown King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get points for attempts? I mean, is that, can you win a match by attempting and
I know and yeah failing, it's kind of failing? Yeah, it's kind of not the record you want to have. Most attempts.
No.
So I'm going to read some of Sean Strickland's tweets. So his last one he wrote, is he gay or just Italian? Marvin Vittori. So
well,
you know, and with tweets like that, how is he not on this podcast?
And then some girl was going off on him because some girl, and then he goes, you look like the kind of girl who used to listen to Green Day and cut herself with butter knives. That's what he said to some girl that was mad at him on Twitter. They're going back and forth about, I don't know, about something. Oh, yeah. What happened was he was mad because he posted a picture of a guy on an airplane. He goes, this person next to this girl should be 100% get to fly for free. Oh, the girl. My bag was 6 pounds overweight. And he charged me $100. Come on. And he posted a picture. He took a picture of the girl on the plane and posted it. So and then people were very mad at him for fat shaming and going on.
I don't know how he stays out of trouble with the UFC because I couldn't say anything without getting a phone call or a text, man. Like, anything. As far as I'm concerned, but I made the joke. I told you I made the joke on Twitter that there's two things I don't tolerate: racism and interracial dating, which I thought was a great joke, obviously meant to be ironic. And I got a text from Joe on that one.
So,
yeah.
This is what he writes: fat people should be allowed to fly. If your fat ass can't fit in the chair, and I feel like I'm in a horror movie being eaten by your love handles, you should have to buy two seats. So
What's wrong with that? I mean, did they have pajamas on too? I mean, fuck. How many people have you seen get on an airplane in their pajamas? It's fucking ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous.
Then he writes, so I'm in Colorado and I'm so happy I'm not in high school anymore. This TikTok generation, I'd never get laid if I were 16 in today's world. I don't know how Pat Barry and Jim West do it because fucking like he's on a rant.
Pat Barry with a joke that's 12 years old. Like it's like I think he did. I think like isn't Rose like 34 now? Like it isn't like
she's like 40.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, so he goes on. So they're trying to set up a fight between Mike Jackson and Jake Shields, and then Sean Strickland's trying to be the guy in charge of it. So we'll see what goes on there. So what do you got this week, Greg?
Well, I'm right here in Las Vegas, man. I'm going to be here all week. So come see me at the Strat at the LA Comedy Club, 8 p.m. nightly through Sunday the 19th.
And Sean, what do you got?
I got an MRI this Thursday, and I found out last time, I don't know if I told you guys this, I told them repeatedly I'm extremely claustrophobic. I would like the biggest MRI machine or the open-ended one. They said they didn't have one. They're all the same size. So I get there, and then the lady's like, sir, there's no way your shoulders are going to allow you to fit in this MRI machine. You got to go to our other location. And I was like, well, I called and asked repeatedly for the bigger machine, and I was told repeatedly there is no bigger machine. They're all the same size at this, you know, what my insurance approved. And fortunately, I had taken 2.5 Xanax because I'm so claustrophobic. I cannot get an MRI machine unless I take Xanax. I cannot do it. And then I didn't have this thing. So I was like, well, I guess I can drive home now. I don't remember anything, but apparently I stopped and got my haircut. I got my haircut. I came home with my haircut and showed up about 9 o'clock at home at my house. And my fiance was like, where have you been? Why didn't you return my text? I'm like, I don't really remember. Like, I don't know where. But she was like, did you get your haircut? And I was like, I literally, dude, no memory at all. I took 2.5 Xanax, no memory at all of what I did, why I did it. I hit my barber up. He goes, man, were you okay the other day? I told you you probably shouldn't drive. I said, I don't even remember getting my haircut. So I was like, I don't know why I came there and did that. Like, I don't know, but I will not be doing that again. I'm going to have somebody drive.
Yeah, man, please. I don't want you to be You could kill yourself.
He didn't do too bad on my hair, though, so that was pretty cool. At least I, like, looked in the mirror. I was like, damn, I did get my hair cut. I mean, if you're going for the Brock Lesnar look, I guess. It was a little shorter than I wanted.
Don, what do you got this week?
I'm going to try and do some more tea and whiskey.
Yeah.
Did you like that show?
I've got to check that out, man. I don't know how I missed it. I keep hearing about it, but I haven't seen it.
I didn't know it was a show. I just thought it was a beverage. It sounded delicious. It's a hot toddy, basically. I love it.
All right, so tea and whiskey.
Nice. It is with me, yes. It is.
Nice.
And I'm going to do that, and then I'll be heading up to New York or New Jersey. Pretty much the same thing, and I do an autograph thing with a bunch of wrestlers from the 80s and 90s. So
nice.
Awesome. That's all. You ever work with Jake the Snake?
No. During my divorce, you know, after my stroke and coma and all that, I was looking really gray and really bad. And I went to Hooters one night for dinner, and a couple of girls come up, can we get your autograph? So excited to meet you. And then some other guy came up, man, you're the greatest, man. We just want to meet you. Can you sign your autograph to me? I said, yeah, well, who do you think I am? You're Jake the Snake. Oh, fuck me. I must look really bad.
That's when you know I need to make some life changes.
I stopped going out for 5 months.
Well, poor Jake.
Yeah, I stopped going out for 5 months. Yeah.
Poor Jake the Snake, because it took you like a coma and this and that and all depression to look like him. So, like, you know,
Don had been working on his Jake the Snake impression by going through a coma.
Took him,
by having a stroke.
$2 million worth of drugs.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's a new A&E autobiography on him, by the way, which is. Man, nobody had a harder than those 80s wrestlers. Those guys had the worst. They had the best but worst lives I've ever. Every one of them. Like, it just was just so tragic. All of them.
Hopefully Don will get a chance like I did to hear some of their greatest war stories of the best matches of their lives and how they barely pulled through. They'll always tell you these stories, and then you're like, but, well, you guys were actually fighting? They're like, no. But, I mean, I almost didn't come through in that match. Like at the end, I was able to kick out, and I would get so confused. Like even they didn't know what was real anymore. It's amazing.
No one was worse than Vince McMahon. I mean, he's literally calling everyone the N-word in one of the promos. He's like,
he was doing that, and everybody's like, can I get your autograph, Mr. Fry?
The Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, the
Honky Tonk. You guys missed it. That was a great joke. You guys missed it.
Yeah.
Adam, did you get that joke? Because that was a good joke.
No, tell it to me again.
I said that Vince McMahon, you said he was dropping the N-word and everything, and everybody was walking up to him saying, hello, Mr. Fry, can I get your autograph?
That was a good joke. That was a good joke.
All right. Yeah. Turd. Where do you live anyway?
He doesn't even know the show's not anymore. He's just having full-on conversations with people. Like he has no idea we're still on the show. All right. Well, listen. Next week,
Adam, you're not safe. I know you go to Vegas. I know you go to Vegas occasionally. I'd catch your ass.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Next week, I am in Minnesota at the House of Comedy. Week after that, in Vancouver, House of Comedy. You guys are great. Take care, guys. Bye.